student revolution during the 60s, where students were interested in working with the people. She worked against the Vietnam War. She worked in support of welfare mothers, and she was very involved in all the activities in those days for progressive people.
She also was, you know, protesting against the Vietnam War. And during the 60s, you know, she was in college, so during that time there were a lot of, you know, young students in the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. As time went by, she got more deeper into the struggle.
Yes, actually USADA has been involved for a long period of time, as Akilah pointed out. At one time she was a member of the Black Panther Party, and allegedly later in terms of BLA, or Black Liberation Army. Society tends to term these organizations automatically as negative and as not to mention them, but as we're finding out more and more, which we'll talk later about, we now understand that things such as COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, which again we'll explain later, were behind the breaking up of these Black liberation movements and organizations, which automatically represented a bad connotation to people's minds, but only now are beginning to find out the truth about them.
And what happened to Joanne? I mean, there may be people listening who don't know anything about the case or the fact that she's in jail right now awaiting trial, that she's been on trial a few times, so I think we should give probably a lot more background.
Mm-hmm. Well, during that time, there was a group of people that the New York City Police Department decided were the main activators of struggle during the time, and they picked certain people that they put a lot of publicity on as people that was behind some struggle that was going on at the time. And anything that had to do with a woman, they said, was Joanne Chisholm-Hart. And that was the beginning of her persecution by the police.
Mm-hmm. The newspapers did a horrible thing on her during the 71 hours. You know, I think it started around 72. And just about everything possible, you know, that a woman, criminal acts, you know, bank robberies, killings of police, kidnap, all kinds of things that she was, you know, charged with. And it just got worse as time, you know, as time went by.
She was sort of singled out without much evidence or anything, and just
Definitely.
Accused of these crimes.
And her picture was in the paper frequently, in all police departments, all transit, anything that the city or the government had any dealings with had her picture up there, someone they was looking for, someone that they considered very dangerous. And the only thing that the sister had been accused of at that time was helping the people.
I mean, just now as I was catching the train up here, I stopped at the West 4th Street stop on my way over here, and I looked, and I was walking by, and then, you know, I saw the familiar Commerce Clearinghouse posters, for example. Now they even have different posters, and again, Joanne Chesimar's face is stamped, you know, one of the pictures in the Commerce Clearinghouse poster saying apprehended, along with Kukuya Olubala or Twyman Myers. I saw a few other faces there, but particularly
hers. And this is a bank robbery she was charged with, and she has been acquitted of.
Right, so she's on this poster as having been apprehended.
Right, exactly.
And
but
she's been acquitted.
So she didn't do it, and she, officially she's cleared of it, but she's still, for everybody who rides a subway,
new posters.
Her picture.
Right. Exactly, this is even a different kind.
This is a new updated poster.
But they still have her picture there.
It's sort of like they're making a symbol out of
exactly.
her or something
she's
like that.
She's never been convicted of any crime at all, not even a speeding ticket, no, not even a traffic violation. This is, you know, literally speaking, you know, seriously speaking. She's been accused, as Akilah points out, of bank robbery charges, in which she was found not guilty. She was accused of kidnapping. She was found not guilty. She was accused of murder. She was found not guilty. One charge they hit on her for, and I believe it was a murder on a police officer. They had to drop the charges because they didn't have enough material to substantiate a case.
And you know. It was these type of accusations that they were putting, you know, these type of charges that made them go, you know, that justified, they think, the way they treated her so far, you know, prior to her arrest and after. And it just...
Tell something about the way that she's being treated now and that she's been treated all this time. As I found out about it little by little, it really blew my mind.
Well, right now she's the only woman in a Middlesex County jail, an all-male prison. They have her in a special solitary confinement dungeon with a matron who writes down every move that she makes all day. And she's had two motions against her, and they were told to take her out of there immediately, and she is still there as of today.
How long has she been there?
She's been in solitary confinement at Middlesex County since January of last year, 76. This is January 77, so that's a full year. And incidentally, Wednesday, when we were in the court house, excuse me, Friday, there was another court regarding this very hearing, regarding her solitary confinement, which the National Conference of Black Lawyers are handling. And at this hearing Friday, she was not present because she's Muslim, and as a result, Friday's a religious holiday for her. But in court Friday, for example, there was a hearing. In other words, what happened, because it's very interesting, at this hearing, the sheriff refused to transfer Asada to the woman's house in New Brunswick, in North Brunswick. He refused, as Miriam was pointing out, that they didn't keep the order, and they said, no, we're still keeping her here. Why? Because she's dangerous. And the thing about Asada Shakur, Joanne Chesimar, is that she's a pre-trial detainee, not a convicted criminal. Mm-hmm. She's been convicted of no crime whatsoever.
And they treat her as this really dangerous criminal.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we have an example of Patty Hearst when she's convicted of bank robbery charges, and she's out on bail, a million plus bail, and CBS Channel 2 had her own mini autobiography telling her own story. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to know of any papers that have asked Asada what she thinks, mm-hmm. other than a small, you know, third world paper press, mm-hmm. or black
women's papers, right. You know, movement people. No one.
She's written a lot. Media. She's made a lot. I mean, I've read a lot of statements and poems of hers that really, I mean, I'm really impressed with the way she's handling herself through this incredibly long period of horrible treatment and being in solitary for such a
exactly.
long period of time. She writes incredible poems that give strength to other people.
We all gain strength and courage and resistance from her, mm-hmm. you know. Her trial is to begin a week from tomorrow, January 17th, for example, but before her trial starts tomorrow, there's another court date regarding motions, more motions that have to be heard. And again, Thursday, again, they're going to deal with the idea of her being in solitary confinement. Now they're going to have the hearing examiner, for example, testify to see whether or not he was biased, mm-hmm. by reading other material before he made a decision stating that she shouldn't be held in solitary confinement.
And whenever they bring her to any of these courts, she's in irons. She's in handcuffs.
They take them off. You know, for the court opinions, they do that much. But you see, if you live in New Jersey and if you read the papers and listen to the TV and things, it doesn't matter, because the fact is she's been denied bail.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is she's in solitary confinement. She's in a men's jail.
And all these things are illegal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's never been convicted, but the minute...
You see those irons, people sort of assume that you've done something wrong when they see you coming
exactly.
down the streets, or, you know, 40 police cars, you know, rifles, helicopters following you. You
know? Real question.
It must be a reason for them.
And
doing
they automatically assume it's whoever they're taking, someone dangerous.
Right. So her name and her face and her image, mm-hmm. just completely become associated with danger.
Well, they have done a survey in Middlesex County, and BB has the statistics on that.
Well, it's not even so much as the statistics, even though they do show that 70% of the people said that she was either guilty or probably guilty. This is 70% of the people in Middlesex County.
This is where she's going to be tried.
Right, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, right. And, for example, when we asked what were different connotations or attitudes about Joanne Chesimar, what people felt, you know, was, you know, we... outrageous remarks, you know, a militant, a dog should
She's
be killed.
An animal.
An animal, yeah. Right, you know, yeah. All kinds of things. And you would think all but that they were there, you know, on the New Jersey Turnpike, in every bank, in every anything, seeing Joanne Chesimard do these things.
And that only proves that the newspapers over in Jersey and New York have gone out their way to convict her.
Exactly.
You know, before
exactly.
She's...
And especially in Middlesex County.
What is she really like?
And to meet Asada is to love Asada.
What is she like?
She's a beautiful person. You know, she's warm and gentle and... she has a quote that kind of describes what, you know, she feels inside. And, I'll read it to you right now. She says that fear is healthy when you're dealing with America. But when fear controls you, when you're afraid to struggle, fear is a bad thing. I'm more afraid of what will happen if I don't struggle than what will happen if I do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that kind of feeling about her life, she has no choice but to be strong. People say, oh, she's exactly. survived this. I mean, if she gave up, you know, she would just be like hanging herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're going all out their way to hang her mm-hmm. in Jersey.
Exactly. Yeah. Do we have time to talk about her pregnancy and also what happened afterwards?
Well, I think that was,
quick.
That was yeah. one of the things that really upset the authorities or the powers that be, that not only was she living in prison, but she was surviving. She was still a woman, even though she was behind bars. And when she became pregnant, the publicity that she got, I think it was something that they didn't like. And they really turned on their persecution of her afterwards. After she had the baby, she refused to be seen by the prison doctors, which she thought wasn't adequate, and she had her own doctor, and she wanted her own doctor to examine her, and she ended up being beaten by guards because she wouldn't be examined by the prison hospital, and she had many problems and complications during her pregnancy.
Well, you know, you know, it's deep because with the things that she was facing, you know, I feel that she, you know, having a baby was like the only humane thing that was happening around her. You know, mm-hmm. all of this brutality, all this suffering, and having a baby just like calmed and eased her mind. But the way the officials took it, they, you know, it was like... the utmost of her, you know, her struggle. How could she dare? They treated, mm-hmm. you know, they acted like it was something, a sin to have a baby. The newspapers wrote all kinds of scandalous things, you know. It was, you know, they just made it disgusting when it was really a beautiful thing that she did, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a very personal thing. She was treated like a dog at the hospitals. I mean, to have a baby and 10 days later be beaten, you know.
Or to have a baby and have to fight to have the baby.
Right. And she, you know, it got worse, you know, and what's going on with her now is just another, an example of how America feels about human beings, mm-hmm. about black human beings, mm-hmm. you know. And this is the reason why people should struggle. Asada is just one example of these things happening, and it will happen to all of us if we just sit idly by and do nothing, mm-hmm. you know, and talk about, oh, it's such a shame that's happening to this girl, you know.
She had a daughter, didn't she?
Right.
And she named it a beautiful name. What's the name?
Kukuya,
which means
hope for the future.
Right. So I think that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make one thing clear, which is that there are two names being used in the course of this show, and those are the names of Joanne Chesimard and Asada Shakur, and they are one and the same person. Does anybody want to, like, explain the two names or anything like that?
Well, just frankly, Asada Shakur is not only is it a prettier name, you know, but it is her name, mm-hmm. and it's her name because she says it's her name. The mm-hmm. government calls her Joanne Chesimard.
Mm-hmm.
It simply is a difference between a European name and an African name. Mm-hmm. Asada Shakur, we prefer to call her, and most people call her Asada Shakur, who support Asada and love Asada.
They're like freedom names.
It is a freedom
name. That's the women's movement. A lot of women in the women's movement do the same thing, and drop their first or last or both names and take names of their own choosing because of the of what I feel is a parallel feeling that like our last names were given to us by our fathers or our husbands and they're not really ours. So mm-hmm. my name, for example, with my Yarrow, I chose myself, and for me that's a freedom name too.
And imagine getting my last name from someone else's father, mm-hmm. not even my own,
right.
or our own.
That's,
you know?
Right. Okay. So anyway, when you hear us saying Asada or Joanne, they're one and the same person.
We right. use Joanne because we do realize that people, you know, it is Joanne who's being persecuted. And,
mm-hmm. And the Asada papers, who's fighting.
Right. Right. You know, even right. though they're the same.
Right.
And people may not know her as Asada Shakur.
Right. You had somebody brought some poems, a poem of hers or two to read. I don't remember where we said we were going to read it, but I would feel good to hear it.
Do
now.
You have
Well, this is one poem that she wrote for her aunt when her aunt was having trouble with the police. It's called What Is Left. After the bars and the gates and the degradation, what is left? After the lock-ins and the lockouts and the lock-ups, what is left? I mean, after the chains that get entangled in the gray of one's matter, after the bars that get stuck in the hearts of men and women, what is left? After the tears and disappointments, after the lonely isolation, after the cut wrist and the heavy noose, what is left? I mean, like, after the commissary kisses and the get your thing off blues, after the hustler has been hustled, what is left? After the sad, futile maneuvers, after the shrill and barren laughter, after the contraband emotions, what is left? After the murder burgers and the goon squads and the tear gas, after the bulls and the bullpens and the bull, what is left? I mean, like, after you know that God can't be trusted, after you know that the shrink is a pusher, that the word is a whip and the badge is a bullet, what is left? After you know that the dead are still walking, after you realize that silence is talking, the outside and inside are just an illusion, what is left? I mean, like, where is the sun? Where are her arms? And where are her kisses? Where are the lip prints on my pillow? I am searching. What is left? I mean, like, nothing is standstill and nothing is abstract. The wing of a butterfly can't take flight. The foot on my neck is a part of a body. The song that I sing is a part of an echo. What is left? I mean, like, love is specific. Is my mind a machine gun? Is my ear a hacksaw? Can I make freedom real? Yeah. What is left? I am at the top and bottom of a lower archy. I am an earth lover from way back. I am in love with losers and laughter. I am in love with freedom and children. Love is my sword and truth is my compass. What is left?
That's beautiful.
Mm. Really.
Okay, could you give us an update on the present status of her trial? How many times has she stood trial and what's happening right now?
Yeah, well, as we had said earlier, she has been tried in three separate jury mm-hmm. trials and has been found not guilty on an assortment of charges, as stated, bank robbery, murder, kidnapping, all of which, again, anything at all in which the woman was to have taken place in Asada was accused of it, mm-hmm. and again found not guilty. No jury would buy that. And again, one charge that was brought forth was dropped. Next a week from tomorrow, January 17th, it's not her last, but the New Jersey charges she will be facing. And meanwhile, again, just a solitary confinement, still trying to get her out of solitary confinement taking place.
She has William Kunstler as her defense lawyer, is one of her defense lawyers. And
Evelyn Williams. There was this a big benefit held last Tuesday night at the Washington Square Methodist Church.
Yeah, right.
And at that benefit, Evelyn Williams, is one of the attorneys, read another poem by Asada about, yeah, wasn't Evelyn Williams? It was. Mm-hmm. But we have it, and you don't know that, and I have a secret, which is that we have it on tape.
Oh, wow.
And that's what the engineer just came to tell me, that we have a tape of Evelyn Williams at the benefit reading the poem about the bar of soap and the tin cup and the sheet.
Oh.
And that's why the engineer just came in here and asked me if I would like for us to put it on the air, and I didn't have time to ask you all, but I thought you'd probably feel good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's ready, is it ready? Right now, let's hear Evelyn Williams reading a poem written by Assata Shakur.
This is called Rights and Responsibilities, Middlesex County Jail. Welcome. You will be issued one metal cup, one bar of soap, one towel, and two sheets. Do not bang the bars with the cup. Do not eat the bar of soap. Do not walk naked wrapped in the towel. Do not hang yourself with the sheets. And everything will be okay.
Okay, now, that benefit, by the way, was really incredible. I was not able to go there, but many, many women that I know went, and I heard that it was really fantastic. One thing happened that I want to talk about, because this is every woman's space, and that's that a collection was taken up for money to help in the defense of Assata Shakur, Joanne Chesimard, and after it was done, some of the women in the audience had an idea and went around and talked to all the women who were there who were lesbians, who were there supporting the cause, and made a special collection and went up front and presented it. And it was announced to all the people there this was a special donation from the lesbians present for the benefit and for the defense of Joanne Chesimard. And everyone clapped, and I heard it was really something real special. We also have on tape Joanne's voice from prison over the telephone speaking and thanking the people who came from the benefit. And she's talking a lot about the benefit, but I think it would also be good just to hear her voice. So let's hear that too.
It's an understatement to say to the people who are struggling for my life and for my freedom to say thank you. But since no other word to feel is honest, let me say it loud and clear. Thank you. Thank you for all the support that you have given me over the last 3 years. Without your support and your help, 3 acquittals would have been unlikely. Thank you for helping me to stay strong while locked down in this dungeon. And thank you most of all for being people who are concerned about justice and who struggle against the racist, oppressive elements that impede it. My struggle is only a small part of a greater struggle. There are many other struggles and many other people who need your support. But if we work hard and if we work together, tomorrow we can move the mountain.
Those are the words.
Yeah.
Go on.
Give me just like to really stress, you know, after hearing Assata's voice, I mean, it's like, again, we have to just think that this sister, this woman is in solitary confinement in the all men's jail in the basement with no sunlight. She can't see the sun. She's in the basement. The windows are above her, so again, she doesn't know, you know, and again, for over a year. And I think it's just really real to stress this point that she is in solitary confinement and her trial is due to begin a week from tomorrow again. I mean, she has 5 attorneys. National Jury Project is now doing surveys in her behalf. She has legal workers, students, committees, support, and of all of these people and different people throughout the world supporting Assata, she cannot see anyone other than her lawyers and family, mm-hmm. you know, and 1 or 2 paraprofessionals, you know, legal staff. Aside from that, no one can visit Assata, and again, virtually, she's in solitary confinement.
What does she have in the cell with her?
Well, I really don't know exactly all of what she has, but I assume some books.
Books.
And
books.
Writing paper in her set, yeah.
Yeah, and herself.
You know. Does she have a radio? Because someone told me that, one of you told me at that meeting we had that she sometimes listens to this show.
Yeah, I was
really
telling
made
you about
me feel
that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I hope she's listening now.
I hope she is too.
Hey, Asada, if you're listening.
Right.
But, yeah.
But it's a pretty miserable place, you know, if you can imagine yourself being alone constantly,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, with no stimulation. You become stagnant, and it's very difficult to have, you know, to stimulate yourself for years and years by yourself, you know,
mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You do need people.
Mm-hmm. And she was denied bail, allegedly, for not having any gainful employment in the community.
Which makes no sense, because she's not from that community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also for not having any ties in the community, which meant there was no guarantee that she would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, but she's never been convicted of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that that quote in the end of that article that I really liked? Remember that one? It was an article that was in a Canadian paper.
Fear, I think that's what was read. Fear's not healthy.
No, it's something else that I really thought was a good analysis of what was happening to her, and I think it would be good to read that, if that's okay.
You were talking about the fact that both Asada and her co-defendant, Sindiata Okoli, is college-educated. Black people, not many black people have a lot of education, and these two people have a lot of it. Sindiata is graduated from college at 19 with a math degree. And it just seems kind of strange why people who have the better, the degrees are supposed to, manifest the better things in life so you can make a lot of money. You know, that's what it means in the black community. Once you get a couple of degrees, you'll get a good job. And that they've decided to struggle for people's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And
in other words, instead of joining the establishment or the white establishment or becoming a part of that, they're staying and fighting for their own people.
Right.
Yeah. Which probably annoys the establishment very much.
Well, right. She's in prison. She's been doing a lot of fighting for all women in prison, all women and men,
mm-hmm.
because she's a freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And she understands what it means to suffer. And she's gone through it. She's felt bullets in her back, and she understands, and she gets a lot of solidarity from other members of the prison there behind her.
I think she's really important as a role model for women, because I think that just her, I mean, that's one of, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why I wanted to do this show, but one of them is that she's such a strong, fighting woman, and we all can just really stand to see someone like her, and to try to be as she is and, not be completely defeated by the kind of treatment that she's gotten and being in solitary for such a long time, but just to keep fighting and to have that spirit of being
exactly.
a freedom fighter, that it's really very good for all of us to see that.
The main thing is to continue to fight, because if we give up now, it'll be happening to all of us,
mm-hmm.
And it is happening to many of us.
That's one of the, not even to change the tone of it, but just hearing that, in terms of struggle, makes me even that much more think of Sundiata as well, because their case was severed when Asada
became
pregnant. You see, and many times people like put Sundiata and tuck him away. He was sentenced in about 6 weeks. He was completely railroaded. I mean, the newspaper at that time, Seoul, BLAers picked up in car, blah, blah, blah. The soul of the BLA also hooked up. I mean, the soul of the BLA, people, again, these telephone surveys that were conducted, were just incredible. When you heard the answers and responses of people to Joanne Chesimar, I mean, when we asked questions and people just illogically answered guilty, just illogically, she's guilty because she got pregnant. She must be, she's guilty because she don't look right, like,
if
what was she doing
black.
With two men? She's black, right?
If she's black, she's guilty.
Mm-hmm. And, if you had charges on you and a $50,000 award, shoot on sight, ask questions later type of atmosphere, and knowing that 10-year-old children are getting murdered, let alone 25-year-old young black women,
hopefully you would ask questions yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully you'd also fight.
And Clark Squire, just to mention him again, like...